Well, he's innocent.
Good. Where can I go but to the Lord? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Possibly verse 16 would be a better connection. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I am not telling you anything that you do not know well when I say that these are days of danger, days of tumult, of fear, of uncertainty, and of unrest. I think possibly the most suitable simile for today is what we have from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 57. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. And I think that there is possibly nothing so fearsome as the ocean when it's whipped into a terrible storm, the wind blowing upon it, the waves rising high. There are very few things that manifest the weakness of man like an angry sea. And even those giant vessels that are being built today and are powered with their tremendous engines, even they are tossed about almost like corks on the waves of an angry sea. And so I say I believe that that is quite a suitable simile for conditions in the day in which we live. Now what do we need when the storm is all around us? We need a refuge of God. And if it's impossible to reach port and there to be safely refuged, certainly we would need a strong, secure anchor to keep that vessel from being dashed on the rocks and going down with all on board. Something like that is behind the verses that we've read. Something like that is the imagery that we must grasp if we're going to get the force of these words. We have an anchor. That is, every child of God has an anchor. So there's no danger, my brethren and sisters, of us being dashed on the rocks and lost. And everyone that's unsaved can have this anchor. It's not only for those who are saved now, but it's for those who will be saved. And thank God this anchor is described here in words that should give confidence and assurance to us, an anchor both sure and steadfast. It's a sure anchor. It can't slip. And it's a steadfast anchor. It can't break down. And so here is the one thing that will keep us secure, no matter how much the waves may mount. and the wind may blow, and people's hearts may fail them for fear. Thank God we have an anchor both sure and steadfast. But you know, connected with an anchor, there is always a cable. I was quite interested this past summer in once again going on board the USS Carolina and looking it over again. I think this time what interested me more than anything was the anchor. And it told the weight of it, which I was determined to remember and promptly forgot. But enough to know that it's a heavy thing. I certainly wouldn't want to have to carry it very far. But I was not only impressed with that tremendous anchor, but the chain, the cable, whatever a sailor would call it, I don't know. But that tremendous cable that was anchored to it, how strong and secure it looked. And so the security would depend not only on an anchor, but on the cable. And you and I have not only a sure and steadfast anchor, but we have two cables here. And the amazing thing is that God has condescended to our unbelief and our doubt and our fear. And the apostle tells us here that he's given us two cables so that we might not have any fear. Now, it should have been enough for God to have simply said it. But God, who cannot lie, surely we can take him at his word. I remember reading about an old sister, saved for many years, and she wasn't well, and a young brother went to visit her. And he was just a little bit impressed with the Greek lessons he'd been taking in the New Testament. And so he asked her what her favorite verse was. Well, she said, my favorite verse is that one where the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. What said he now, sister? In the Greek, that's a double negative. And it's literally, I will never, never leave thee. Well, said she, young man, the Lord may have to say a thing twice for you Greek scholars believe him. But once is enough for me. If he says he'll never leave me, that's all there is to it. Now, it should be that way, shouldn't it? For God to say a thing, hath he said and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? It should be enough for God to speak, and that be all we need. The promises of God should be enough just to rest our souls on for eternity. But God in his infinite grace has condescended to the natural unbelief and doubt of the human heart, and we're told here that God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That is, God spoke, then he took his oath that that was true, that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. And what a strong consolation that is. God has spoken. God has taken his oath that what he says is true. And those are the two cables that hold the anchor. So many people say, but how can I know that I'm saved? You can know because God says it. How can I be sure that I'm saved? Because what God has said, He's sworn is true. And with these double anchors, these double cables, to hold this anchor, you and I can be absolutely sure and secure, no matter how strong the wind may blow, no matter how high the waves may rise. Friends, if we are in Christ, we are in the place of absolute security. But the other side of the story is this. If we're not in Christ, we're in the place of absolute danger. If nothing can strike us in Christ, everything can strike us out of Christ. So the all-important question for you to ask yourself is this. Have I fled for refuge to Christ? Now, there's no use of having an anchor if you keep it in the ship. There's no use of having a port in a storm if you don't make for it. There's no use of having a refuge if you don't enter it. There's no use of having a Savior if you don't trust Him. To know about Him, to believe about Him, is only going to seal your condemnation if you don't make use of Him. And so, as men and women turn this way and that way, completely frustrated and perplexed, almost out of their minds at times, thank God we have a refuge. That refuge is secure. Who is it? Jesus. Even Jesus. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came from the heights of glory down to this world of sin and shame. The one of whom that traveler wrote, caught in a storm, looking this way and that way, no house in sight, everything indicating that storm is going to increase in its intensity, endangering his life. But there's a rock. And as he runs to it, with the rain falling around him, the lightning flashing, the thunder pealing, as he runs to it, presses himself against it, how thankful he is that he finds a cleft in that rock. And there in the cleft of that rock, he stays safe and secure until the storm is past. To write later, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Lo, I hide myself in thee. Have you done that? How good to have a cleft in a rock when a storm is beating around your body. How much better to have a cleft rock when your soul is in danger. And there's the Rock of Ages. Are you in it, my friend? Are you on it? Remember, only one rock. All else is sinking sand. God help you as you think of the storm, as you think of the scripture, that you will this night realize I'm in danger. And the only wise thing for me to do in danger is to flee for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ. He waits with open arms to receive you, to take you in. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll shelter you. And he'll be with you all the way until the journey's end. I close with this. They tell us that this word that is used for forerunner was used in the Greek Navy for the small boat, that is, small in comparison with the large vessel, into which they put the anchor when the large vessel couldn't go into the harbor. Many of the Greek ports, we're told, on the Mediterranean there, had harbors that were very difficult for the large vessel to enter. There was a bar across the front of it. It could be negotiated in the daylight, but very few pilots would even attempt to take it in after dark. And yet, out there in the open sea, there was always the danger of that vessel being carried away and dashed on the rocks and lost. And so when they came to the harbor, too late to enter into it, they say that they took the anchor. They put it into that boat that was called by this word, which translated here forerunner. And then they rowed that boat with the anchor in it, a long cable attached, they rowed it on into the harbor. They dropped the anchor there. And anchored secure, the vessel with its crew and passengers could ride through the long hours of the night. Then in the morning, the tide went in. And with a rising tide, the vessel went in to where it had been anchored all through the night. Now, I don't know whether that is actually so in connection with the truth of the Greek Navy. But I do know this. It's the truth of this passage. And I know this, that you and I are in the dark. There are storms around us. God so far has not called us home to build himself. But thank God every one of us is anchored as we have it here within the veil. Our forerunner's gone in. And the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection has gone beyond the veil. He's there on the throne. I can't see him. But there's a cable between him up there and my soul down. That cable is the promise of God. That cable is the oath of God. I fully expect, before the night is over, to be tossed around. I fully expect to have more storms to weather, but I don't expect the cable to break. I expect in the morning, when our Lord comes again, in the full tide of that resurrection morning, brethren and sisters, we're going in. Thank God, we're anchored to the throne of God. That's why a Christian doesn't worry. That's why a Christian doesn't fear. That's why a Christian doesn't get unduly perturbed. We're anchored to the throne, and we're just waiting for the morning. And he who went in as our forerunner is coming out as the bright and morning star. Everything will be bright when he comes back again. Friend, do you know him? In a personal, saving, satisfying way. If you don't, I hope that you'll take him tonight. take them home with you. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, sometimes we sing, and our brother who visits with us sings, there is singing up in heaven, such as we have never heard. And we anticipate with joy joining in the chorus of the redeemed in that coming day. For our God, we thank thee, that song has begun in our hearts here and now. And we who are thy people are not only singing with our lips, but we're singing in our hearts that new song, praise unto our God. And oh, we bless thee. It's a song that once started will never, never finish. So at the endless age of eternity, we'll sing, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And now, Father, we thank thee for this time spent together tonight. May it not only cheer and refresh and bless the hearts of each child of God, but, O Father, may it be blessed by thee, used by the Holy Spirit, to bring any who may be here out of Christ to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without further delay, may they flee for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, even Jesus. We commit all to thy care, praying thy continued blessing upon all, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.